If you are a bride-to-be, Ann Wilson has an important question for you to think about.
Is there anything about him that I cannot accept right now? Is there anything about him that I'm thinking, yeah, when we get married, I'll change that? Because if you're thinking that, some of you smile because you know, it's not going to happen. Don't think that you will change him. So as you look at him, think about him right now in your mind, okay? Is there anything right now that you cannot live with at this very moment that you would want to change? Because who he is today will probably be the man that you will marry, and don't plan on changing him.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. Ann Wilson has a lot of very wise, very practical counsel for any bride-to-be. And in fact, this is something she's been sharing with young women for a long, long time. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. So guess what I found? Yes, I was digging in the archives, and I found...
Is that the cassette tapes?
I found a cassette tape. No, it wasn't an 8-track. It was a cassette tape. We recorded... back in 1997,
wow,
22 years ago,
wow,
we recorded you, Ann, at a. This was a talk you gave to a group of engaged women at a Weekend to Remember marriage getaway. We've got a breakout.
Right.
First, we meet with the couples, and then we used to meet guys with guys and girls with girls. You were with the women on a Saturday afternoon, getting them ready for their wedding night, getting them ready for the unexpected in marriage. It was a pre-marriage conversation. and at this point, you'd been married for, I think, 17 years
right.
when you gave this talk.
Wow.
So I thought this will be fun. It'll be fun for you.
Will it?
Yes. And it'll be fun for our listeners to hear what you were saying about marriage 22 years ago
yeah.
to engaged women. And I should just mention again, this happened in the context of a Weekend to Remember marriage getaway. This week is your last opportunity to register for an upcoming getaway and save 50% off the regular registration fee. If you call us today or go online today and register, you and your spouse attend for half price. And this offer is good through the weekend. So if you want to take advantage of this, now is the time to call. You can find a location near you, a weekend that works for you. Mark it out on your calendar. Save some money if you register today. And we promise you, in fact, we guarantee you that this weekend is worth the time and the money. Here's how we guarantee it. If you come to the weekend and you go, that wasn't worth it, we'll give you your registration fee back.
Mm. That's a pretty good deal.
That is yeah. a good
now,
deal.
Now, we're not going to give you the full registration because you only paid half price, right? So it's not like, ooh, I can double
make
my money.
Make some money.
No, we'll give you what you paid for the registration back, but it's how confident we are that it's going to be a great weekend. And
where you get to hear talks like this.
That's right. You get to hear people like 37-year-old Ann.
Oh, boy.
Talking to engaged women. I think this is going to be fun for us to listen to, but there's a lot of wisdom that you shared with these women, and I think our listeners are going to enjoy hearing what you shared with these young ladies.
You are on the verge of great possibilities in your marriage. And for me, it's just so much fun because 17 years ago, in May, I sat in a room like this, and there was no woman to speak. A man spoke to us, and that was just totally weird. So it is great to have you in here. You know, as Dave and I came in here, I was 19 years old, and in 2 weeks, we were about to be married. And I'll tell you what, we sat in here and we became so excited because we had never heard some of this before. And I bet for some of you, this is new. And we had never heard of God's blueprint for marriage. And it gave us so much hope. It gave us so much to look forward to. And our expectations of what we could have rose significantly. And you know, as we did that at this conference, we said, we want God to be a part of our relationship more than anything else because we understood the impact he can make on a relationship. And you know what? This is amazing to me, but Dave and I, neither of us came from homes that were centered on Christ. And at that point in our lives, neither of us had seen a marriage relationship that we would want. Our parents had okay relationships, but we had never seen a godly relationship that we would want to model. And so for us, we had a great desire for this to really work. The things that they talked about up in front, we wanted that. We wanted those relationships. And the night of our honeymoon, we got down on our knees before our bed. And we prayed together on our knees and said, God, do whatever it takes to make this relationship what you want it to be. Whatever it takes, God, take it. It's all yours. And I have to tell you, we were so excited. Well, 6 months later, remember Dave said that we moved to Nebraska. And as those 6 months were rolling along, we were amazed at just how different we were. We were amazed at how shattered our dreams had become. And on the drive from Findlay, Ohio to Nebraska, we got in one of the greatest fights we have ever been in. In fact, it was a 15-hour drive. I bet I cried 10 of those hours. It was just lovely. And you know, one of the times I turned to Dave and I looked at him and said, you know what? It was a mistake that we ever got married. And he turned to me and said, you're absolutely right. Now, how can you go 6 months prior to that of having these great hopes and expectations for this godly marriage and 6 months later say words like that to one another that pierced my heart and hopelessness just descended and the walls just started building up? And ladies, what we're going to talk about today is stuff I hope that you can grasp and take with you. Things that you won't just hear, as Dave was talking about, but things that you can apply in not only your marriage, but even starting today in your engagement time. What is the purpose of engagement? For Dave and I, what happened for us at that point, what we realized is, what did we learn at that conference? What did they say? And when we got to Nebraska, man, we pulled out the manual. And we started saying, now what do we need to do here to get back on track? What are some things that they said about communication that we should and should not do? And we started scouring this book. It became second to the Bible and as far as wanting to learn and apply some of that. I realized, I've been doing this several years enough to know, that this group is a very diverse group. We have women that have been married 2 and 3 times in this group. We have women that are going into their first marriage and are young. And so some of this you may have heard before. Some of it you may think, golly, I've known that. And some of it may be brand new. I would just exhort you to take just one thing, maybe two, that is impressing upon you. And not only that, if there's something that you just do not relate to as far as all that we're going to cover, I bet you there's someone you know that can relate to it. And I would not doubt that over the years, you'll have an engaged friend or maybe even a daughter or son that maybe you can help carry these principles through. The purpose of engagement is, first of all, we're going to talk about these 4 things. And I'm going to really plug in on 2 of those. Is to first, to test your commitment. To test your commitment. Also, the purpose of your engagement time is to plan for your marriage. It's to anticipate potential problem areas, and it's also to plan the wedding. As I look at those 4 things, you know what I think sometimes? I think what we get caught up in as we become engaged is we center right into this planning the wedding part. Look at you, it's like, yep. Because it takes up so much of our time, and there are so many things to be done that we can focus in on that when that's just a small thing. Because the purpose of engagement is much more vast than just planning the wedding. In fact, if you take this cup, and let's say you just bought this cup. Let's pretend it's like this really nice jar or a pot. And you want to put this really neat plant in it. The plant will be your marriage. And let's say you're going to plant in here. What do you need to make this plant thrive and survive and to grow? You're going to need a lot of things. And sometimes all we do in this engaged time is we just say, oh, hey, we're just planning our wedding. That's what engagement is for, isn't it? The engagement period. No way! This period is so much more than that. And I'm not going to talk so much about planning your wedding because you guys are in the midst of that right now. But also, this is the time to test your commitment. This is a time of saying, is there anything about him that I cannot accept right now? Is there anything about him that I'm thinking, yeah, when we get married, I'll change that? Because if you're thinking that, some of you smile because you know, it's not going to happen. Don't think that you will change him. So as you look at him, think about him right now in your mind, okay? Is there anything right now that you cannot live with at this very moment that you would want to change? Because who he is today will probably be the man that you will marry, and don't plan on changing him. As you plan your marriage, planning your wedding and planning your marriage are two different things. When you plan your marriage, this is a time I feel like you are students. This is a time for you to look at each other and to say, who are you and what are you all about? Look at him, watch each other, observe one another. Let me ask you, how much time have you spent on dealing with communication? How much time have you been discovering how you resolve conflict? I tell you, just a few weeks ago, I listened to a tape by Dr. Scott Stanley, and he's written a book called Fighting for Your Marriage. And in that book, they have said that they can predict 85 to 90% of the couples that will divorce. Is that amazing? Let me ask you, what is it that they find that will cause a divorce? How can they predict so honestly? Those relationships have something that they're saying, they will have some problems. But can any of you guess? What do you think those things would be? Two primarily.
Conflict resolution.
That's one. Conflict resolution. How you deal with conflict, how do you resolve it? Do you guys know how you do and how each of you do in conflict resolution? When Dave and I first got married, we both had very different ways of dealing with conflict. My family, we got together. It's like, there's a problem. Let's put it on the table. Let's talk about it. Let's deal with this. Let's tackle this thing. And Dave came from a family where his parents, at one time, were both alcoholics. And as we looked at that, what happened for Dave was when he would have conflict, he'd be gone. He would leave. And in one of our arguments when we were first married, I can remember having this argument, Dave standing up and saying, you know what? I don't really need to deal with this. And he left the room. I was like, and being the quiet person that I am, saying, you are leaving? And then he walked up the stairs, went into the bedroom, and closed the door. And I stomp up the stairs. It's like, you come down and fight, you chicken! We were really good at conflict resolution in those days. But as you think about that, I mean, we have had to learn. And Dave has totally changed in that area, where sometimes he even has to pursue me. How do you guys resolve conflict? What is your style? Are you one to withdraw? Are you one to talk? Ask one another. How do you think we do with conflict resolution? And what is your style? And what do you think my style is? Those are so important, key things. The other thing that's really important is dealing with unresolved anger. Gary Smalley has a book out. It's called Making Love Last a Lifetime. He deals significantly with that. But if there's unresolved anger, issues of the past or chronic anger, so many times those can come out in a relationship. And those are great things to know about and learn about. This is also a time to anticipate potential problem areas. I bet some of you are seeing some of those right now, as far as sometimes finances can be potential problem areas, in-laws. And are you planning the wedding and you're in that right now of the dealing with in-laws? Also, let me add this too. How do you both correspond and relate in spiritual issues? Are you like-minded spiritually? Do you both have the same passion for God? I know that when Dave and I were engaged, my relationship with God was everything. And if Dave's would not have been that with me, it would have killed me. It's the most important thing in my life, and not to be able to share that with him would have devastated me. So are you going the same place spiritually? And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be the same level of maturity, or one has been a Christian longer or a shorter period of time than another. What it means is that you both have a desire to mature and walk and go toward God, not away from him. You may think that that's not that big of an issue. It is a huge issue. So ask yourself that. Are you on the same level? Also, how do you do in communication? How are you doing? And I would add this as well. I just listened to a tape by Elizabeth Elliot concerning her book, Quest for Love. And she talked about observe one another. In your time together, watch how he treats your mother or your parents and his parents. Watch how you relate. And don't think that conflict is a bad thing. Conflict is a great thing. You know what? Dave and I probably had more fights in that first year. And at that point when we were in the car heading toward Nebraska, you know what my thought was? What have we done? What were we thinking? I was 18 when we met, and now I'm 19. I was young. I had sexual abuse in my past that was affecting us right now. Dave came from a divorced family with two alcoholic parents. We had so much garbage. And the tendency for me to think was, it was a huge mistake. This was not God's will. This was not God's plan. We should just split. And yet I look at those things now and realize that as God brought us together in that first year, instead of shying away from conflict, thinking this is a bad thing, I feel like that first year, God did more of taking us to where He wanted us to be in our relationship than anything else. So as you come across these major conflicts or arguments on the next years, in the next few months, don't see it as, oh no. See it as, look at this. This is an opportunity to go to the next level. Because that's what it is. It's an opportunity for you. Every conflict, I felt like when Dave and I resolved one, it's like we have more of an understanding of how God wants us to be and what we're to be like. And it's exciting if you can see it from that point of view. So those are just few of the things in those areas to look at and to think about. And in this time that you're engaged, pick up books. Be reading, because our tendency can be, all the time when you guys are getting together, what are you talking about in a significant portion of your time? Planning the wedding, isn't it? And sometimes what can happen with a relationship is it can deteriorate a little bit. You know how Dennis was saying, take a date night? You guys are right here on the verge. When you get married and you have children, it'll be hard not to talk about the children. It's becoming practiced and intentional about discussing your relationship. When you go out at night, take a significant amount of time to set aside to say, how are we doing in our relationship? Plan now. Start pouring in things now that will cause this plant to grow up strong and healthy. Be intentional on what you talk about. One of the books that would be great to talk about in your times together. This is one of those things that you can start pouring into your cup. It's called The Five Love Languages. It's how to express heartfelt commitment to your mate. What makes you feel loved? It could be touch. It could be words. It could be gifts. It could be all kinds of things. So find out what makes you feel loved and then what makes him feel loved. The thing that makes you feel loved is usually what you give back. Okay. The other way of planning for your marriage is to know your man. Now, in this part, let me just say, I'm going to be really real with you. I'm going to be real frank, mainly because I wish someone would have been honest with me. So I'm going to be like the sister that some of you have and didn't have, and I'm going to be very honest. That's just kind of my personality anyway. It's like, oh, was I supposed to be embarrassed about that? If it embarrasses you, I hope it won't, but it's just some of the stuff that God has really dealt with me on a personal basis, and I want to share it with you because I wished for years that someone would have had the guts to share it with me. As we talk about these, I've had people, some women that have been angry with me because they say, you know, I can't believe you shared that stuff. Let me just add this. The things that we're sharing with us, it comes from the Bible, and you can disagree with me, you guys, that's okay, but what I'm saying is directly from the Bible, and this is what it says. And if you want to disagree with that, hey, the choice is yours. You don't have to do any of this stuff. The choice is yours. But there will always be consequences to the good and the bad choices that we make. So that's what we're talking about. And in this engagement period, many women ask this: to what degree should your physical expression of love go while still engaged? And how far can we go in God's eyes? Well, here's what I did. At 15 years old, I lost my virginity. And my mom had always said, you know, Ann, this is something you need to wait until you're married. And as a young girl, I thought, you bet, boy, I'm waiting. That's me, Mom. And you know, the older I got, the more intrigued I was with boys. And as I thought about it, I thought, why not? Our home was a home in which verbal affirmation or affection was never displayed, nor was physical affection ever displayed. And I didn't realize it, but I hungered for somebody to love me. And I lost my virginity at 15 years old. It was a hard, hard day, just because of some of the implications that happened as a result, and just being so young and giving up something that was a treasure that was just thrown away and not appreciated. And at 16 years old, I placed my faith in Jesus Christ, and I really wanted to do what he wanted me to do. Up until that time, I thought, why can't you have sex? My mom said no. People say no. I see no reason why. But still wondered, what does God say? And I started thinking, well, maybe the Bible says something. And I would read things like this in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. And I would read that and think, okay, that's good. What does that mean? Does that mean, as I read, I thought, sexual immorality. Okay, so I bet that's sexual intercourse. I bet that's what that means. And so everything else, it's okay. And so I stopped sexual intercourse. And me and I explored everything else in the whole world that you could do. And I was yearning for someone. I would go to Christian bookstores and try to just find books. And in that time, there just weren't a whole lot of books that addressed the issue. And the reason I share this is because I wanted someone to tell me what is okay, what is not okay. And if you look at that word sexual immorality, from the Greek, the word is porneia. And what it basically means is this. Now, and I'm not making this up. This is what the Greek means that is not okay. Anything outside of marriage to the point of becoming sexually stimulated. Okay, that's a little hard to swallow here. But why? Why does God say that? That was my question. Why does everyone say no without saying why? You know why? It's because God loves us so much that he wants the best for us. He knows what it's going to take to have a great marriage. And for me, I have to tell you, the reason Dave and I struggled so much the first year, it was because of our past. Dave brought this stuff into his background, into our marriage, and I brought this stuff into our marriage from my background. And ladies, I have to tell you, if I could go back and change it, it would be that. If Dave could go back and change anything in his past, it would be that. Because when God says you two will become one in flesh, it does just not mean one physically. It means that you give a part of your soul to another person. And God desires that just for your husband. And God doesn't say no because he doesn't want you to have fun. It's not because he wants you to miss out. It's because he truly loves us. And let me add, too, why does he? Because God's protecting us. There is only one reason why God says, do not sin. And the only reason is to protect us in every circumstances. And the reason I share that is because, for me, the feelings that I have that I took in were such a lack of trust on Dave's part. I just did not trust him to know that he would be pure with me after we were married. And the other thing were just the flashbacks that we both experienced that were just a natural consequence. And also, one of my greatest fears was the fear of comparison. Dave and I just went to his high school reunion, and I grew up in the same hometown he did, and I knew who his girlfriends were. Just to talk to those ladies and to meet them and to be around them, even now it's hard after so many years that I know that he gave all of himself to someone else. God loves us, that he's trying to protect us.
Well, again, we've been listening back to the first part of an extended dialogue that you had, Anne, more than 20 years ago with women, engaged women, at a Weekend to Remember marriage getaway. And listening back to it, you're hearing stories you haven't thought of for a while,
boy.
Right?
Yeah, and so is Dave.
Like that high school reunion?
Yeah, when I heard that, it took me back, and, regrets, mm-hmm. that what Anne's trying to communicate is those don't go away, and you can make decisions now that will protect you for the future. So, yeah, I haven't thought about that in a long time.
That was painful, too.
And I'm glad you brought that out of the archives,
yeah,
Bob.
Yeah, that's great, Bob.
Thanks a lot.
But here's what we got to say. Those regrets may not go away, but grace covers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
God comes into the midst of those regrets and brings healing and brings hope and brings beauty from ashes, mm-hmm. right?
Definitely has done that in our marriage, and it's also one of the reasons we want to help couples.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make the mistakes we made. God will forgive. God will meet you right there and bring beauty into that darkness. But boy, oh boy, we're standing on a fork in the road saying, don't take the road I took.
Yeah.
You can avoid this.
I think, too, the reason I brought that up with that group so many years ago is because we experienced the consequences of some of the mistakes that we had made, and why God gives us direction in the Bible. It's because he's trying to protect us and love us.
Mm-hmm.
And we bore some of those consequences, but we also, you're right, Bob, God has given us grace. And so we want to help other people to maybe not go the same route we went.
Well, and I think our listeners got a chance to hear today, when you attend a Weekend to Remember marriage getaway, mm-hmm. you hear from real people
mm.
who have gone through real issues, who are candid, transparent, honest about the issues they've been through in their marriage. They're not perfect, but they have found hope and help from the scriptures, and they know where the hope and help is. They've seen God work. I say this because we're encouraging listeners this week to get in touch with us and sign up for an upcoming getaway. We're going to be hosting more than 30 of these getaways in cities all across the country this fall. If you sign up before the week is out, you'll save 50% off the regular registration fee, and you'll be doing the best thing you can do to strengthen your marriage. Really, if there was anything I knew that I could recommend to you, any other weekend that would do more for your marriage, I'd tell you about it. But for more than 40 years, the Weekend to Remember is where people have gone to learn more about God's design for marriage. And we've had hundreds of thousands of couples who have told us this weekend made a huge difference in our marriage. Find out more. Register today to save 50% off the regular registration fee. Go to familylifetoday.com for more information or to register online or call 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, our number is 1-800-358-6329, 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Join us this fall for a Weekend to Remember marriage getaway. We think you'll be glad you did. And we hope you'll join us back again tomorrow. We're going to hear more wise counsel from Ann Wilson speaking to a group of young women about to be married. You'll hear part two of her message tomorrow. Hope you can tune in for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back tomorrow for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.